everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the Postmodern Realities Podcast, brought to you by the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. I'm Melanie Cogdill, Managing Editor of the Christian Research Journal. It's April 2025, and you're listening to episode 442, which is a conversation about lucid dreams. On this episode, I'm joined by Lindsay Medenwalt, who is the Director of Ministry Operations at Mama Bear Apologetics and the author of Bridge Building Apologetics. Lindsay holds a master's in apologetics and ethics from Denver Seminary, a JD from St. Mary's School of Law, and a master's in public administration from Midwestern State University. Lindsay has written an exclusive online feature article for the Christian Research Journal. Her article is called Consciously Dreaming, A Look at Lucid Dreams, and you can read it for free at equip.org. That's EQUIP.org. Lindsay, it's good to have you on the podcast again.
I am excited to be here to talk about a very interesting topic.
Yes, I have found this topic to be very fascinating. And I will say that on our YouTube channel and just when people contact us, what has become really popular is just people wanting to understand dreams and specifically something called lucid dreaming, which seems to be a phenomenon that people are interested in exploring just generally, like maybe in the last decade or so, maybe last 15 years, it's become a thing. So of course, we're all curious to know, what do dreams mean? Why do I have them? What's this? Is there any significance in them? And I just want to find out a little bit more about the subject, and I know you've done a deep dive on it. So why don't you tell our listeners, what is a lucid dream and how is it different than, you know, the garden variety dreams that we have? A lot of times we don't remember our dreams when we wake up. We just remember, oh, I felt, you know, scared, or I was being chased, or something happened, and we don't necessarily remember the content of our dreams, but dreams seem to be mysterious to people.
Yeah, they're certainly mysterious to me. Even though I've done this study of it, I'm still kind of not confused, but it's just been really an interesting thing to research. And I already told you this off the air, but like my dreams have been impacted since I started studying this. And interestingly, in the several books that I read in preparation of this podcast and the accompanying article, the author said, hey, if you start studying this, your dreams might be impacted. And I want to be clear, like I haven't had a lucid dream, so I'm not speaking from experience here, but it has been a really interesting thing. Yeah, dreams are a part of everybody's life. Sometimes people can really remember their dreams. Some people keep dream journals because their dreams are so vivid. Other people, they don't remember any of their dreams, but all of us dream in one sense or another. I think some dream studiers have said that we, on average, dream about 2 hours a night. And I watched another YouTube video yesterday that said there's probably 5 times during the night that you're having active dreams. So a dream is just really taking all of your life experiences from the day or the week, or, you know, even life in general, and putting them all into a mix, which is why sometimes our dreams are just so weird. And we wake up and we're like, well, that was odd. Lucid dreams are when somebody is dreaming and they know that they're dreaming. So you're looking around in your dream and you are conscious that you are dreaming. And you can consciously control what happens in your dream, who you interact with, how you behave. And you can, in some cases, decide when you want to wake up. In other cases, you don't really have control over that, which we'll get to in a little bit. But not everybody has lucid dreams. Some people do, just naturally. And then, as we'll talk about, there is a large group of people, although I don't have a specific number, who are proponents of trying to instigate or create lucidity in our dreams as a regular practice. So that's kind of the basic idea of the difference between regular dreaming, which pretty much everyone does, and lucid dreaming. In regular dreaming, you're basically unconscious and you're not in control. And in lucid dreaming, you are conscious and in control of what happens in your dreams.
That is really fascinating because I know, like you said, some people are keeping dream journals. Now, one thing I saw in my very limited prep for this, you know, I didn't do the deep dive that you did, is that it's not very common that people have lucid dreams. Now, this is according to scientists who study dreaming and sleep cycles. And one of the videos that was an interview of such a person, they said maybe 30% of people have lucid dreams. So it's not a common occurrence, but they claim that they have scientifically proven that people have lucid dreams, and this is a percentage of the population that does that. So can you explain how, you told us what they are, but can you explain how lucid dreams are induced? How does somebody who can supposedly have a lucid dream actually make a lucid dream happen while they are sleeping?
There are a couple of ways that you can do this. That, like I said, I read a few books on the topic and I've watched so many YouTube videos, I've lost count. I've also watched other films and listened to a few podcasts about the topic to really kind of just absorb myself in it. But it seems like a common thread is meditation and really trying to think about lucid dreams a lot while you're awake, and then meditating before you fall asleep, telling yourself, okay, I'm going to have a lucid dream. There is this acronym that was created by a guy named Stephen LaBerge, and it's called, I think he's the one who created it. It's MILD is the acronym, and it's basically just mnemonic induction of lucid dreams. And what it does is, if you wake up in the middle of the night or like at 3 o'clock in the morning, so you've had a good amount of sleep already, now you want to try to induce your lucid dream, because you're much more likely, if you're awake for about a half an hour or so, once you fall back asleep, you're more likely to have a lucid dream. So when you wake up, you tell yourself over and over again until you fall asleep, the next time I'm dreaming, I will remember that I am dreaming. And then you begin to visualize yourself having a lucid dream and being in a lucid dream. So it's a combination of meditation and kind of almost obsessively thinking about having a lucid dream. Another common thread that I found in the proponents of lucid dreams is that you should think about lucid dreaming all the time. And every time you have a dream, you should dream journal and write it out. And remember specific details of your dreams, because that will help you have lucid dreams. And so you're obsessively thinking about it. And that can be a danger, right? Because if we obsess about anything, it means we're probably letting something slide in our lives. But that is one way that apparently you can trigger lucid dreams, is by thinking about them all the time, which I guess sort of makes sense.
Some of our listeners, and I was thinking about this topic, it sounds a little bit like some occult and New Age practices like astral projection. So is lucid dreaming astral projection, or are they related in any way?
Yeah, I was just talking to somebody about this, and she told me that she thinks that lucid dreaming is sort of a gateway into astral projection. And I hadn't really thought about that. And honestly, I haven't thought about it enough to talk about it intelligently at all. And I'm not an expert on astral projection, but I think there are some similarities, at least in desired outcomes, right? So in lucid dreaming, you want to be involved in the dream for certain things that we'll talk about later, but basically so that you can have personal growth or spiritual insight or some sort of expanded consciousness. An astral projection, which is essentially an out-of-body experience that is basically when your consciousness separates from your physical body, the same goals are involved as in lucid dreaming. So in astral projection, we also want to achieve personal growth, spiritual insight, or expanded consciousness. Now, I would say that not everybody who does lucid dreaming is involved in the New Age or the occult, but with astral projection, that is definitely much more of the common theme with people who practice that, is that they are very likely involved in the occult and the New Age.
If you're enjoying this conversation today with Lindsay Medenwalt on Lucid Dreams, I hope you'll head on over to equip.org, because not only will you find this article that she's written for us called Consciously Dreaming, A Look at Lucid Dreams, you will find a wealth of different articles and related topics that Lindsay has written for us that are quite popular on our website, including all of the articles she's done on ancient aliens. And she has also handled for us witch talk and tarot cards and other things that are kind of interesting that you might not have known about, like Skinwalker Ranch. So you might want to check out equip.org. And the great thing about all of the Christian Research Journal content there is it's completely free. There's no paywall at all. And because of that, we would like for you to consider partnering with us in some very easy ways. One is just please tell more people about our content and this podcast and share it, you know, through a text or email or on your social media accounts. But also, if you could write us a review or rating, that really helps us with the internet algorithms. It just means that more people can find our content. And there's a lot of people that have some questions about these topics, especially things that Lindsay's done for us, for example, on the Falun Gong cult, or even David Wilcock. He's huge on the History Channel, and we have so many thousands of views. I think we're more than 15,000 views on her podcast with us years ago on David Wilcock. So you won't want to miss more of Lindsay's content, as well as all kinds of content that you can find on equip.org, from our articles to videos to other podcasts that we have, like the Bible Answer Man. All of that is on equip.org. So please head on over there. And now back to my conversation with Lindsay about lucid dreaming. We're just talking a little bit about astral projection and just New Age practices, but it seems like maybe the introduction just culturally to lucid dreaming has come in the form of just pop culture media. In fact, years ago, someone I know watched Waking Life. I didn't watch it. It came out in more than 20 years ago in 2001. But in preparation for this podcast, I did watch Waking Life, and I didn't really realize back then it was about lucid dreams.
We both watched it in preparation of this podcast. I also watched clips from Vanilla Sky and Inception. And you're right. Sometimes we're watching these things and we have no idea that they're involved in a certain perspective. I honestly had no idea
about the creative thing about dreams. I didn't think it had anything to do with lucid dreams. Although right. Everyone, I mean, spoiler alert, it's been so many years, but you know, everybody at the end, even if you don't know anything about lucid dreams, I mean, every viewer is like, okay, that top was spinning. Was it real life or was it a dream? We don't know.
Well, yeah. And Inception is a wild one, but I thought Waking Life was, I had to step away for it. Made me a little nauseous at times because of the way that it was filmed, which is actually a really creative film style. It's basically animating human actors, I can't remember exactly what it's called, robo animation maybe. And so it's a cool way to film a movie, but I also got a little bit seasick throughout, so I had to take a couple of breaks. But it starts with this little boy and this little girl playing a game. It's one of those fortune teller games that I think I did in high school and middle school, right? Where the paper fortune teller games, where you pick a number and then you move the hands and then you pick another number and then you get a fortune. And in this particular film, it said his fortune, this little boy's fortune, was dream is destiny. And then you go into this whole film of basically a dream sequence, different conversations about existentialism and free will and different, there was a discussion, Ethan Hawke's character was talking about a study, a real life study that happened about crossword puzzles. And of course, you know, I went to go look up the study and it does exist, but the film touches on it a little bit because it's talking about collective consciousness, which is a big theme when it comes to lucid dreaming. And had I studied lucid dreaming when I first watched things like Inception, I would have understood. But since I was already primed with what lucid dreaming was, it totally made sense when I heard this conversation between the two characters in the film talking about how in this study, people who did crossword puzzles, if they were given the daily crossword puzzle on the day it came out, they were tested and how long does it take you to answer that particular crossword. But if researchers gave them a crossword puzzle a day later, like they still hadn't seen it, it was the first time they'd seen it, the researchers discovered that they could actually solve the crossword puzzle faster. And that led researchers to start talking about this thing called a collective consciousness, which was this idea, and it's sort of a new age idea, but this idea that we're all connected, in our minds. And if somebody solved the crossword puzzle yesterday and then it's given to me to solve, I can solve it faster because somebody else already solved it and we're connected together. And so I thought it was really fascinating that Waking Life attempted to tackle such difficult topics in 2 hours, and it's all a lucid dream. At the end, I'm not going to give away the full ending, but the end sort of mirrors the beginning, right, Melanie, where he flies off in a car, at the car, he's sort of flying, and it sort of ends in the same way, except now he's older. And you're just wondering, like, was the whole thing a lucid dream? And I don't know. But it does make me think about films like Inception a little bit differently, or Vanilla Sky, which isn't necessarily a lucid dream film, but it does make me think things a little bit differently now that I've studied lucid dreams.
So I think there's also not just these pop culture artifacts of films, but aren't there people in history that were very interested in trying to participate or actually do, you know, create lucid dreams of themselves for themselves so that they could be inspired to invent something or create something because they were artistic?
Yeah. I read this thing. It was like a list of people who created things based on lucid dreaming. Although I'm wondering if their definition of lucid dreams is different. A lucid dream isn't just a vivid dream, right? Like, it's not like you walk into a lucid dream and it's everything is beautiful and clear and that's a lucid dream, which we can think of. And maybe that's what people think of when they hear the term lucid dream. A lucid dream is that you are conscious while you are dreaming. But there are claims that certain artists and creatives have used lucid dreams to create their works. So one example that I read yesterday was John Lennon and the song Yesterday. Apparently he dreamt it and then the next day wrote it. And I don't know if that was a lucid dream or if it was just a regular dream. I have had regular dreams of things that were creative, right? And then I wake up and I'm like, oh, I need to write that down. And I've heard of like the author, and I'm not promoting this book at all, but the author of the Twilight series, she wrote the whole series based on a dream she had. And that wasn't a lucid dream, and she's never claimed that it was a lucid dream. So when I'm reading about these creatives like Stephen King or the artist Salvador Dali or even Nikola Tesla, I'm a little bit skeptical as to if those people are actually lucid dreaming or if they're just having regular dreams. And I can't speak for them and answer that question. I don't really know. Not a lot of people, I think, know the actual definition of lucid dreaming. So I'm just a little bit more skeptical now when I hear somebody say, oh, I had a lucid dream.
Yeah, it might just be something that they're thinking is like, like you said, my dream was very, very vivid. Now, we've seen lucid dreams in movies, like you said. If you watched Inception, now that I know about this topic, I think there's some element to lucid dreaming because there is the kind of suggestion, could this person wake up? This is very real. Is this happening to them? And we talked about Waking Life that we watched, but I guess it's not just an artifact of pop culture, like I said. Is it really real? We were mentioning scientists in sleep study centers that are promoting that the fact that people do have lucid dreams. And so what is the scientific backing for lucid dreams? Before I prepped for this podcast, I just had a hard time believing that there were any scientists who claimed that these are real, but in fact, there are.
Yeah, I typically approach this kind of topic with a healthy skepticism too. So you are not alone in that at all. I am married to a psychologist. He's a scientist and studies the brain. And so I was lucky enough to talk to him a little bit about this. He mentioned to me that even in the textbooks that he teaches from, he thinks that there's a section about lucid dreaming, not a huge section, but has to do with the brain and sleep, right? So they give mention to that. But this idea of lucid dreaming didn't start as a science necessarily, although it seems like science has sort of proven its existence. It was more of a religious practice. And I say that because, as many of these things do, it started in the East, right? Not the West. We did not invent lucid dreams in the West. It started with, it seems like, Tibetan monks. Now, dream yoga is really common with Tibetan monks. It's not exactly the same as lucid dreaming, but basically dream yoga is when a practitioner learns how to have lucid dreams. So they practice it while they're awake so that when they're asleep, they can engage in lucid dreams. Hinduism has something similar called yoga nidra. I'm not entirely sure I'm pronouncing that right. Apologies if I'm wrong. I'm a reader and sometimes I don't hear how things are pronounced, but yoga nidra, which is kind of priming the pump again to have lucid dreams when they're asleep. In the West, lucid dreams became sort of a thing in the early 1900s. In 1913, there was a Dutch psychiatrist who wrote a paper called A Study of Dreams. His name was Frederick van Eeden. And he wrote this paper called A Study of Dreams. And in it, there was a section, just a small section, about lucid dreams. Now, it seems like his definition of lucid dreams was you have clarity while you're dreaming. He didn't really say it had to do with being conscious that you're in a dream, but he sort of coined the term lucid dream. It has since become more of a discussion of consciousness. I think in the 1960s, it really kind of picked up in the scientific psychology community. There was a British psychologist, Celia Green, who started doing research on lucid dreams. And she really was convinced that you could tell if a person was having a lucid dream based on rapid eye movement, which is what happens when we're dreaming in a dream state at night. And she never proved that, but it was proven later on in the 70s by another psychologist in Britain. And so she was right. And then there started to be a little bit of an uptick in the number of psychologists who started talking about lucid dreams. And in the 1980s, we get to a guy named Stephen LaBerge, who is considered the godfather of lucid dreams. And I don't think he's even necessarily the biggest name when it comes to lucid dreaming, right? We've got other names like Keith Hearn and Scott Sparrow. Keith Hearn is the guy that proved that Celia Green was right when she was talking about rapid eye movement. He also invented this thing called the Dream Machine, which is apparently in London in their science museum. So if you're in that area, you can actually go see this instrument that he created that was supposed to help trigger lucidity in dreams. But Stephen LaBerge is probably the biggest name. He is an American and he studied at Stanford. And he has talked a lot about how to achieve lucidity in dreams and really has said, okay, we know they're real. How can we achieve them? And what are the benefits of doing that? And so I think it's important for us to kind of look at the history of it so that we understand, like, okay, it's not just religious, although there are religious aspects to it. And there, of course, are New Age aspects to it, because we can get to those in a minute. But that often happens when we're talking about consciousness. We get into the New Age. But there are people who are not associated with religious thought who are talking about lucid dreams as well.
Yes, but hasn't Stephen LaBerge and the things that I saw from him, it's true he's a scientist, but it seems like he's embracing some of the new age elements to it. Like he promotes dream yoga, for example.
He does. Yeah. So he created this thing, Melanie, called the Lucidity Institute. It's in Hawaii, which if you're going to have an institute that talks about dreaming, why not go to a dream location like Hawaii? But in those retreats that he offers at the institute, it seems like they focus on dream yoga. Now, I couldn't get like a full line by line schedule of what they do there. I don't know. I tried to find. He talks a lot about achieving higher consciousness. He had some weird things to say about demons. I don't think he's a Christian, but I don't know that he is full-fledged practicing the New Age either. There are other people who are full-fledged doing that. I think one that I maybe didn't mention just now is Scott Sparrow. He is associated, he's a psychotherapist who's associated with, and you'll know this name, Edgar Cayce Association for Research and Enlightenment. He actually created the Dreamstar Institute and wrote a book about lucid dreams related to Edgar Cayce's psychic readings. So for listeners who don't know who Edgar Cayce is, he is called the Sleeping Prophet. And he claimed that when he fell asleep, he could make certain predictions or prophecies about particular people and heal them of their ailments while he was sleeping. And that Association of Research and Enlightenment still exists. And Scott Sparrow is associated with that group.
So that's really interesting. And then there's also the professor at some kind of dream institute at Stanford, who is, I think, from the UK. He was featured on a lot of videos just describing the fact that lucid dreams exist. So what are the claims of the, you know, the people who promote lucid dreaming? What are their claims about why it's beneficial? Why should someone pursue, in their, you know, worldview, trying to pursue actually practicing lucid dreams and getting better at that?
Yeah, so there is, I'm actually going to reference a cultural thing and then come to that. So there is a song, and the name of the artist is escaping me at the moment. It's called Lucid Dream. And I think his name is Juice WRLD, but it came out in 2017. And in the song, he's talking about heartache that he's experienced. And one of the lines is, I have these lucid dreams where I can't move a thing, thinking of you in my bed. And then I know it's all in my head, right? And I thought that was really interesting because one of the benefits that I came across that proponents of lucid dreams say will happen if you can lucid dream is that you can overcome things like grief. By interacting with the person who has died in your dream, who's not actually visiting you, you're just, again, consciously creating the interaction in your brain while you're dreaming, while you're sleeping, but you're having a conversation with somebody who has died and it makes you feel better in the morning because, okay, I talked to that person. I don't feel so sad anymore. Another one is that I saw was that it could promote memory and learning. So the more that you work on practicing your lucid dreams, apparently that can help with your learning retention. Because when you wake up from a lucid dream, you actually remember more of it than you would your regular dreams. And you write those down and that skill translates to your everyday awake life, right? Another one is overcoming fears. And I thought this one was interesting. And I sort of explained it like it would take a series of lucid dreams for you to accomplish this. But if you had a fear of flying, maybe in your first lucid dream, you would put yourself in an airport and you would just sit in the airport and you would watch the planes take off and land and you would watch the people move, but you wouldn't do anything in your lucid dream. That's all you would do is sit and watch the planes take off and land. Maybe in the next lucid dream, you get yourself to the hallway that leads to the plane. Then you get yourself in a seat on the plane, but you're not taking off. And eventually you get to a point where the plane takes off. The idea being that your lucid dream makes you feel safe and you overcome this fear of flying so that in the real world, that feeling translates over. So you're no longer afraid of flying in the real world while you're awake. So, and that's what scientists are studying, right? Scientists are looking at benefits like, can lucid dreaming help veterans who are struggling with PTSD? Can lucid dreaming help people overcome anxiety? Maybe you're really afraid of, and this is one instance I heard about, I think on a YouTube channel, was maybe you're really afraid of having a conversation with your boss about getting a raise. And you don't know how to have that conversation. So you have a lucid dream about it so that you can have the conversation in your dream. And when you go and do it in real life, it's easier because you've already experienced it consciously. I think it's, you know, I'm like you, a little bit of a skeptic when it comes to these things. I struggle with I haven't experienced it. And that's not to say that it's not real. I mean, I haven't experienced having $1 million, and I know there are people who are millionaires. So I'm not saying that just because I haven't had the experience, others haven't, but I can't speak from personal experience on this one. And that leaves me to look at science and other things. And it seems like scientists are kind of on board with this, if we can separate from the new age stuff. But for the most part, the benefits are for self-improvement. And that's good. And in some cases, I think it becomes a little bit of a negative.
Is there any kind of, speaking about negatives, what would be, as you've done your research, potential drawbacks for people trying to engage in the practice of lucid dreaming?
Yeah, I think one of them is this obsessive desire to have a lucid dream. All you're doing is thinking about it, and it can impact your sleeping time because you're either disappointed when you wake up because you didn't have it or whatever it might be. You're obsessively thinking about it. And like I said earlier, if you're obsessively thinking about anything, it's probably taking you away from thinking about things you actually need to get done. The other thing is I saw that there were some things about sleep paralysis that were a little bit disturbing, actually, when I was reading them. And one was in a book called The Awake Dreamer, which is by a woman named Samantha Fay. She's a Reiki master, and she teaches about crystals and intuition. And she's got a podcast called Psychic Teachers and Enlightened Empaths. But in this book, she addresses sleep paralysis, and she says that it's when we become partially awake during our REM cycle, but we can't fully wake up. So you're unable to move any part of your body except your eyes. And it comes with overwhelming feelings of fear and dread. And apparently this is when terrifying entities that exist on astral planes that can only interact with us during the dream state arrive. Now, I spent a good amount of time on the Reddit page of lucid dreams. And this idea of scary entities, so many people claim to have demons visit them in their lucid dreams. And that is disturbing, to say the least. I think we can't minimize that because one of the things we've talked about frequently on this podcast, not just with me, but with others and others who have written for the Christian Research Institute have said, you know, demons are not to be toyed with. And going into a lucid dream with a desire to interact with demons or even getting stuck in a lucid dream with demons is not good, especially if you are susceptible to that kind of thing, right? Like some people have opened themselves up to being visited by spirits of some sort. And so to hear, to read that from Samantha Fay, and she doesn't minimize it in her book, but there were a couple of other people that I watched that were like, it's no big deal if you're visited by them because ultimately it's not real, but you've spent all this time telling me that lucid dreaming is just as real as real life because you're conscious. So which one is it? So that is, I think maybe the biggest drawback is this idea of encountering demons while you sleep and being conscious and aware of it. How terrifying must that be?
So we've kind of alluded to it because some of the things that I asked you about are adjacent, you know, like, is this practice of lucid dreaming like, for example, astral projection? So are lucid dreams associated with an occult worldview or any kind of new age practices, which you've written on so many of them for us? Is it kind of in that kind of Eastern worldview, I guess, column?
I would say yes. Maybe not for everyone, right? I think there are some people who can probably do lucid dreaming and not have it be connected to the new age or the occult. But essentially, you've been asking, you know, what's the point of lucid dreaming? And I think for some people, it is about spiritual exploration and how can they connect with their higher self or the divine creator. Not everybody calls the divine creator God, like Christians do, but how can we explore our minds and expand spiritually? And apparently that's what we can achieve in lucid dreams. As I said, you know, dream yoga is that spiritual discipline where we can achieve certain type of awareness while we sleep. Tapping into that collective consciousness is a really interesting part of it as well, because it's not real. And having this idea of I can tap into Melanie's mind when she doesn't live anywhere near me. And we've all had moments, right, where I'll call my mom and she'll say, oh my gosh, I was just thinking of you. Does that mean that we are connected consciously? No, it just is coincidence. Because not every time I call her is she like, oh, I was just thinking of you. It's just coincidence that I'm her only child. Of course, she's going to think about me from time to time. And it might just coincide with the time that I call her. But we take those experiences and we're like, oh my gosh, we're totally connected. And I don't think there's a lot of scientific backing to this collective consciousness. The other aspect is this higher dimension idea. One person that we've talked about frequently on this podcast and sort of started me on the in the realm of tapping into the higher dimensions and vibrations and UFOs and all of that has been David Wilcock, who is also associated, by the way, with Edgar Cayce because he claims to be the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And so David Wilcock, who some of our listeners might know from Ancient Aliens, has written a book called Awakening in the Dream. And I read it. I think it came out shortly after the pandemic started in 2020. I could be getting my dates wrong. But I need to go reread it now that I've actually studied lucid dreams, because that's literally what his book is about. It is about having lucid dreams. And the benefit, according to him and other New Agers like Teal Swan, who we've also talked about before on this podcast, they believe that dreams can help us raise our vibrations. And vibrations are basically everything that we're created with in our bodies and our souls and our minds. And the higher our vibrations, the higher the vibration of the earth, and then we can all ascend into this higher consciousness once we've reached this perfect level of vibration. And he, David Wilcock, claims that lucid dreams can help us achieve higher vibrations faster. And so we can achieve ascension faster. I kind of went down the rabbit hole again on him because, you know, his podcast has only gotten bigger. His YouTube channel has only gotten bigger. And he goes on like 5-hour rants about all sorts of things. And there are several videos where he talks about dreaming. It's really interesting to hear his perspective about this higher consciousness. And I don't think that he is alone in the way that he views how lucid dreams can contribute to our raising our vibrations and being a better humanity, I guess, is what his purpose is when he's trying to have a lucid dream.
So in the movie that I watched, Waking Life, I thought it was interesting. It was a little bit of a stream of consciousness of different philosophical ideas as this main character moves through just random situations. All of a sudden he's talking to some other person or this philosopher, that philosopher. And one of the people that he comes across late in the film, I don't know who that person was supposed to be. He was talking about oh, I think I'm in a dream. And this guy's like, oh, I dream all the time. I do a lucid dream all the time. And this is what I like about it. And one of the things he says in there, I can have sex with whoever I want to. And that's what I like about it. Among other things, I'm considering, you know, the meaning of life or whatever. Are there any kind of, like you said, it's an awake state in a dream situation is what the claim is. And are there potential moral issues? Could people go, like this guy was saying, well, hey, I wouldn't go have sex with whoever I wanted to in real life, but I can actually, because I'm awake, participate in this thing in my dream. And so is there a question of ethics and morality inside of a lucid dream?
This is the topic that I am wrestling with the most when it comes to lucid dreams, Melanie. I don't have a solid answer to this, but I'll kind of give you my stream of conscious thought on this, because when I saw Waking Life and when I started thinking about, okay, if lucid dreams are real and we're really conscious while we're dreaming and we're choosing to do the things that we're doing in our dreams with knowledge that we're doing these things, like having sex with anyone we want, or flying. That's an easy one. Like, I want to fly. Okay. So you're going to go fly. There's one, you know, if you want to have a conversation with Aristotle, poof, Aristotle's in your dream and you can have a conversation with him. But my question, and I think this is one that Christians need to wrestle with too, is, how far is too far in lucid dreaming? Does morality matter when we're dreaming? I don't think there's this argument for regular dreams, right? Because we're unconscious. Our brain's going to do what it's going to do. It's a cleaning out system, the way that dreams work. And it's just going to be a bizarre combination of a whole bunch of things put together. Maybe it's a movie that you watched combined with something in real life. And you're like, whoa, I can't believe I had that dream. But lucid dreams are different because you're conscious and you're making choices. So are you going to be held accountable for the choices you make in dreams? So some would say no, because you're dreaming and it's not real. You're not really having an affair with your neighbor if you have an affair in your dream. You're still being faithful to your wife or your husband, right? But then my question is, all right, great. But one of the perceived benefits of lucid dreaming is that it improves our mental health. It helps us with clarity of mind. It helps us with memory. It improves learning retention. So then when we are constantly doing evil and sinful things in our conscious dream state, in a lucid dream state, what is that doing to our psyche in our waking state? Are you lusting after your neighbor? Maybe you haven't had an affair with them, but now, because you're having an affair with them when you're lucid dreaming, now when you're awake, every time you see your neighbor, you can't help but have lustful thoughts about your neighbor. And that's sin, right? So maybe you, and this is taking things to the extreme, but instead of asking your boss for a raise, you go and you murder him in your dream. Are you creating in your psyche this feeling of hatred and anger toward a person that then plays out in real life, where you're no longer treating that person as an image bearer with the character of Christ, right? Like, so as a Christian, we need to take sin seriously. And one of the things that I really have been ruminating on, and I think it's relevant, and listeners might say, no, you're on the wrong path, and great, help me figure out exactly how to get through this line of thinking. But Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, if your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And when I take that into the lucid dream world, so if the lucid dreams are causing me to stumble, maybe they're creating lustful thoughts in my mind, or I'm sinning in some other way. Maybe it's a spirit of pride that's created, or a spirit of greed that's created in my lucid dreams. And now in my waking life, I'm experiencing that as well. We need to gouge out what's causing that. And for me, that means gouging out the lucid dream.
So if lucid dreams are real, and while we said there are a few scientists who are in the sleep study field, I don't know that it's a widely held position that lucid dreams are real. But let's say based on some of their research where and by the way, I don't know if you mentioned this, but they did say in the YouTube videos that they were like, they had their brains hooked up and they could tell they were speaking to them in their dreams. And then they could tell that they were dreaming because there's a way to measure dreams. So supposedly this is happening. What are the ramifications for Christians in two ways? So first I wanted to ask you, you know, some Christians might be very fascinated by this topic and think, wow, this is really interesting. Should I try to have a lucid dream? What would you say to them if they thought that maybe they should pursue trying to actually be awake while they're dreaming?
Yeah, I don't know that there's necessarily anything inherently wrong with trying to have a lucid dream. Full disclosure, I did attempt to do this week and failed miserably. I have not had a lucid dream, and maybe it's because I don't engage in meditation. And so it's really like not something that I'm able to do because I'm not getting to that point. I'm also not obsessively thinking about it, which is another recommendation to have a lucid dream. So I don't know that there's necessarily anything wrong, but the question then is it something that's going to actually be fruitful in your life? Why do you want to have a lucid dream? What is the purpose for you? Is it so that you can live a hedonistic life in your dreams, which is, you know, basically sinful? Are you going to do all the bad things, all the immoral things in your lucid dreams so that when you're in waking life, to take the name of the movie, when you're in your awake state, you've already sowed your royal oats, so to speak, right? I just don't know that each Christian is going to have to ask that question. Why do I want to engage in lucidity? What is the purpose behind my desire? And what would lucid dreams achieve for me? And I don't know that we can say it's not aligned with scripture, although I think there are some clear indications that it might not be. But I think every Christian is going to have to answer that on their own.
And then are there dangers or cautions? Like you said, well, I don't know if there's any kind of prohibition to have a lucid dream, let's say in scripture. What should they be thinking about if they try to pursue it? You tried to see if it would work. What are the dangers they may face?
Yeah, one of the things that I think Hank Hanegraaff has talked about this quite frequently, and I couldn't find a video, but I'm fairly certain I've heard him talk about it on Bible Answer Man, but essentially opening the door to evil spirits. And maybe Melanie, you know off the top of your head if he's done something like that. I hope I'm not making it up in my brain. But basically the idea is, if you know that there are potential dangers to encountering demons, maybe you shouldn't participate in that, right? I'm a little different in that I research these kinds of topics, but I need listeners to understand, like, I have people actively praying for me when I research these topics. I don't do it for fun. I do it because I want to be able to equip other Christians with information so then they can make a decision based on the information that's been presented. And I guess opening the door up to Satan is a really bad idea. And scripture tells us we should resist the devil. And my concern with lucid dreams, especially when we're getting into the new age idea of consciousness and interacting with divine beings and whatnot, is opening yourself up and not resisting. And that makes me a little bit leery about, maybe a lot of bit leery, about Christians engaging in lucid dreams. I honestly, unless there is a mental health professional who has engaged in research or is very familiar with lucid dreams, and as you noted, there aren't a lot of them, who can help you through a particular issue that you're having, I don't know that there's a lot of benefit to lucid dreaming. I see more problems with them than I see benefits. That doesn't mean that for everyone they're bad and that you shouldn't absolutely do them. I just think that we need to proceed with caution.
The other question I have for you is the Christian apologist. Let's say they know somebody, because it's kind of become a thing, especially on YouTube, and you mentioned subreddit forums and so forth, that people are fascinated with dreaming and lucid dreaming. So how does the Christian apologist answer the person who is pursuing lucid dreaming and then also saying, well, maybe I should take up meditation or other, you know, new age practices that maybe they would think are related or would help them with lucid dreaming?
Well, what concerns me is that not a lot of people understand definitions of the words that they use, or we have these ideas about what we think things are. And so asking the question, like Greg Kochel says, what do you mean by that, right? What do you mean by lucid dreams? Maybe it's the original definition of lucid dreams, which is basically just clear dreams. And that's what the person means. The next question is, I have a lot of conversations with people on airplanes. That's why I'm using this as an example. But if I was having a conversation with someone on the airplane, I would say, so what is it that you want to achieve with lucid dreams? And then if they asked a follow-up question about getting involved with meditation, or in some cases, crystals, which we didn't even really talk about, but some proponents of lucid dreams encourage the use of crystals to help you dream better. Like, put this particular crystal under your pillow and you'll have better lucid dreams. So if somebody were to ask me that, the biggest question is like, why? Why do you want to engage in that? And then if the Christian apologist has actually studied this topic, and Christian apologists are specialists in most cases, so they may not have, right? But if they have, the question would then become, how far are you going to take this? When do you stop? Do you lucid dream every night? How is it going to impact your waking hours? And then you can ask questions about interacting with untoward spirits, demons, right? How will you deal with that if a demon shows up in your dream? How will you deal with sleep paralysis if that happens to you and then you wake up terrified? What will you do? And I think it would be better if the Christian apologist were to encourage something different. Like, hey, instead of lucid dreaming or worldly meditation, where you're focusing on achieving your higher consciousness or a higher state of self, maybe you should engage in, you know, what Hank Hanegraaff calls biblical meditation, which is focusing on the Word of God and reminding yourself of all of the good things God has created here on earth for you to enjoy. And you don't have to go into a lucid dream state to see God's beauty in the creation that He's made for us, and reminding them of the goodness of Christ. And ultimately, if we're trying to achieve some state of freedom in our lucid dreams that we don't have in real life, reminding that person that freedom is truly found in Christ. And once we've given our lives to Him, that's when we can find true freedom.
Well, this has been a very fascinating conversation about dreaming and lucid dreams. But I want to lighten it up a little bit, and on a much lighter note, it's going to be summer soon. And would you say you are an ocean person for the summer? You'd rather swim in the ocean, or would you rather swim in a lake?
Ew, neither. I hate water. So I will not be swimming in either one of those. I will be going to Yellowstone is what I'm actually doing. We're going to canyons and staying on dry land.
Well, thanks, Lindsay, for being a guest again on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Thanks, Melanie.
You've been listening to episode 442 of the Postmodern Realities podcast. Today's guest was Lindsay Medenwalt, and we've been discussing lucid dreams. She has written an exclusive online feature article for the Christian Research Journal. Her article is called Consciously Dreaming, A Look at Lucid Dreams. And you can read it for free at equip.org. You won't want to miss out on subscribing to the other podcasts from the Christian Research Institute. We have the Bible Answer Man podcast, which is published Monday through Friday with the best of the week on Saturday. It's hosted by CRI President Hank Hanegraaff and is available wherever you get your favorite podcasts. In addition, Hank has a podcast called Hank Unplugged. Hank takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in free-flowing, essential Christian conversations on critical issues with some of the most interesting, informative, and inspirational people on the planet. And you won't want to miss out on the brand new podcast from the Christian Research Journal. Christian Research Journal Reads presents audio versions of Christian Research Journal articles. It was a print incarnation of almost 45 years. It's now on the web, as you know, with new articles every single week. So you won't want to miss these audio articles of some of our most popular and most accessed articles on our website, equip.org.